Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Hour number four of our broadcast. Welcome back, and thank you very much for being with us. I'm Bill Shanks with Russ Brown. We are live here at the Steakhouse Restaurant in Hawkinsville. We invite you to come for some supper tonight. Great crowd on hand here as people are coming in for the Thursday night buffet. They have hamburger, steak and gravy, cream potatoes, fish, shrimp, fried chicken, mac and cheese, turnips, green beans, cabbage. Great food here at the Steakhouse Restaurant. You can also order off the menu, and of course they have great steaks here. They have seafood with a fresh shrimp dinner, the fried oysters, the scallops, the deviled crab, house specials like the grilled pork chops. Lewis was telling us about earlier the grilled pork chops, one of the favorites here at the Steakhouse Restaurant, country fried steak, grilled chicken breast. They also have sandwiches. We got earlier the Philly cheese sandwich, which was delicious, which one of the many great salads here, or sandwiches here and salads at the Steakhouse. He has daily specials for $6.99, chicken tenders, char-grilled hamburger steak, popcorn shrimp, char-grilled chicken breast, beef tips on rice. The lunch buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 until 2:30. The Thursday night buffet going on right now from 5 until 9. Super Sunday buffet every Sunday, but this weekend on Sunday, very special Super Mother's Day feast. Bring your mom for Mother's Day. What a great opportunity to have a great meal with your mom. Starting at 10:30 on Sunday, 10:30 till 2:30. And it's lunch only on Sunday, this Sunday. They'll have crispy fried chicken, barbecue pork, and Brunswick stew. I've heard the Brunswick stew is outstanding. Carb roast beef with gravy, turkey and dressing with gravy, cheesy macaroni and cheese, cream-style cream corn, which is usually what cream corn is, really. It's cream style. Italian green beans, baby lima beans, creamed potatoes and gravy, fried okra. He's got salads. He's got great desserts, banana pudding, peach cobbler, ice cream, blueberry, cheesecake. And the price is $12.49. That includes your drink. So we invite you to come to the Super Mother's Day feast here. 4 hours only now from 10:30 until 2:30 here at the Steakhouse Restaurant in Hawkinsville. And again, if you're in Macon, Warner Robins, it's worth the trip. It's about an hour's drive from Macon, probably, of course, much less than that, 25 minutes or so from Warner Robins, and it's worth the drive here on the Highway 341 bypass in Hawkinsville, the Steakhouse Restaurant. Visit the website hawkinsvillesteakhouse.com. Lewis Fowler has once again treated us very kindly today with great food. We had some scrimps. We had some hoe cake. We had some, as I said, the Philly cheese sandwich. We are full. And the dessert, the chocolate cheesecake. I might take a little bit of that home, Russ. Don't tell nobody.
I won't. Don't tell them about that ice cream cone I had.
Yeah, you had an ice cream cone, and that chocolate cheesecake may be worthwhile there. Great food here. We invite you to come. If you've never come, come check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. Tell Lewis. Ask for Lewis, and he's the owner and the chef and does a great job here. Ask for him and tell him you heard it on Middle Georgia's ESPN. We had someone come in, and I say that, and sometimes people do it, and we are very appreciative of that. We were sitting here, I think, about an hour ago, and a man walked in from Perry. I think it was Tony from Perry, I believe it was.
Yeah, Russ? Tony, yep.
And walked in and came in and shook our hands, said hello, and shook Lewis's hand and thanked him for sponsoring our broadcast and being a sponsor on our station. And we appreciate that so much because he said he was coming back tomorrow for the seafood buffet, and I know Lewis will expect to see him and look forward to seeing him and welcome him here. And but that was awfully nice of that man to do that, and it's always appreciative to the sponsors as well to have them here that you're listening to them and hearing their sponsorship of our programming here on Middle Georgia's ESPN. Our phone lines are open if you'd like to join in the conversation. Area 478-646-ESPN. 646-3776. Braves play tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks in Phoenix. Braves have lost three in a row after winning the first three games of this road trip. Now they have four games with the Arizona team. And, of course, Arizona did pretty well against Atlanta back at SunTrust Park. They swept the series. The Diamondbacks are 21-16. Kind of a surprise, the National League Western Division. They are only three games back of the Dodgers in the West and in second place. And, again, they took care of the Braves back in Atlanta. Tonight, it'll be Mike Soroka on the mound for Atlanta. He's 3-1 with a 1.14 earned run average. Luke Weaver on the mound for the Diamondbacks. He was part of the price that the Diamondbacks got in exchange for Paul Goldschmidt, who was their big player, and he was traded to the Cardinals, of course, over the offseason. And Luke Weaver, very good young pitcher, who is 3-1 so far with a 3.29 earned run average. Last night, the Braves lost to the Dodgers, got the heck out of town. Chavez Ravine was not kind to the Atlanta team in the last three nights. 9-4 was the final score as Atlanta got behind early, 3-0 to Clayton Kershaw. The Braves bounced back with a two spot in the fourth inning on a two-run home run by Ronald Acuna. Atlanta then down by three and then got to within one with two runs in the seventh inning to chase Kershaw from the game. 5-4 going into the bottom of the seventh inning, and then A.J. Minter allowed four runs. He had a really bad performance. He went to bed with two runs allowed there in the seventh inning, and then they added two more off Jacob Webb in the eighth inning to win it by the score of 9-4. A.J. Minter, by the way, his ERA is now up to 9. He's your closer. 14 games to the bullpen's done better as of late, we should say that, but still, we've kind of half-joked Russ about if Brian Snicker is asked directly, Snit, who's your closer, what the heck he's going to say, and particularly with the fact that the guy who we would assume to have basically gotten that job by default because of Aroides Vizcaino's injury, and with Johnny Venters, and with Darren O'Day still out, A.J. Minter, the last one standing of those main four who are going to be counted on to be part of that bullpen, ERA of 9. And that's not good. So, yes, the bullpen's been better, but let's not lose sight of the fact that there is no closer on this team.
No, there's not. And that, you know, that's something that, again, if they could just stay afloat these next couple of months, they're going to have to address that at the trade deadline. Vizcaino's not coming back. We know that. I don't think Darren O'Day is somebody you want to count on. And even if you were, O'Day has never really been that type of guy anyway. He's always been a setup man. So the closer role is something that's going to have to be addressed at the trade deadline or if it's going and signing Craig Kimbrell after the Major League Baseball draft, because you don't. I mean, you would, right now, you know, I think Tomlin has certainly stepped up and done a good job for him. Luke Jackson's been good ever since opening day. He's been good. But, you know, Tomlin's a long reliever, you know, and he's been put in a kind of high leverage situations. That's really not what he does.
By default.
I mean, really by default. And Jackson, too, if you look at the bulk of his career, I mean, you're going to wonder all throughout the season, you know, is he just going through a good stretch right now? Or, you know, when's the next shoe going to drop with a guy like that? Hopefully never, but you have to be leery of that, and they just that's something that you're going to have if you're going to be competitive down the stretch. And I think, again, more than anything else right now with these Atlanta Braves, it's as much about staying in the race to be able to be in position to make those moves as anything right now, because you're still trying to settle the rotation a little bit, and the good news is there's a lot of baseball left to figure all this. Excuse me, to figure all this out.
We got to remember that Luke Jackson, while he has done very well since that opening performance where he was awful, he was the 25th man on that roster for a large chunk of April, no matter what. And, yes, he's done well, but he was the 25th man for a reason, and we hope he can continue doing well. And look, Grant Dayton had to be sent back to AAA, but he did well in his five games. No earned runs allowed, which is good. Dan Winkler's been better in his 11 games for Atlanta, 1.86 ERA. Jacob Webb finally gave up some runs last night. So bullpen's better, but there's still no closer. Just the bottom line. All right, so that game will be tonight. I wanted to mention this for a few moments here. I tweeted about this a little bit last night with the last game in Los Angeles And obviously, it was not a very good 3-9 experience for the Braves. Watching those late night games in L.A., though, did bring back a lot of memories, because those of us who are a little bit older and who can remember, for example, when the Braves were in the National League West, are going to remember a lot of those late night games the Braves had in L.A. that started at 10:10, 10:05, whenever, and how you used to just watch Braves baseball late at night, a large portion of the season. They had 27 games with the Padres, Giants, and Dodgers every year for many, many years when they were part of the National League Western Division. And obviously, two of the years that are two of the most prominent years in Braves history in the 54 years they've been in existence, the Braves were in contention against the Los Angeles Dodgers, 1982 and 1991. 1982, the Braves started out 13-0 and barely won the division by one game over L.A. in the National League Western Division. And we had, obviously, a lot of memories. Unfortunately, even though they won that year, they had more bad memories than good memories against the Dodgers directly, especially because Fernando Valenzuela was then really the height of his stardom in 1982. And also, you have to remember the fact that the Dodgers were churning out Rookie of the Year players every single season, which were very difficult to deal with and to compete against. 1982, they still had Steve Garvey and Ron Say had already been traded, but Garvey would leave after that next year and go to the Padres. Greg Brock would take his place, but for the most part, the Dodgers were always that big rival. Then in 1991, when the Braves got good, guess who they had to compete with and combat? The Dodgers. The Dodgers had a great team that year. They had Daryl Strawberry. They had Brett Butler, both signed before that 1991 season. And it made for some unbelievable games, including the Friday night game in September when Steve Avery pitched a complete game and just shut the Dodgers down. That allowed the Braves to get back into first place after being kind of in and out of first place for a while. They got back to first place on that Friday night. We had great games, of course, also in Atlanta over the years with the Braves and the Dodgers, with the great series in mid-September when L.A. came to town, and it was just an event. It was huge. It had all the signs all over the stadium, and people were just going crazy. So the Braves and the Dodgers have a real rich history. And the funny part to me about this is that even now, even all these years later, where the Braves aren't very big rivals of the Dodgers compared to what they were in the past, here we are with this team getting good again, talking about the Braves, and who they have to deal with? The Dodgers. And think about it. The last few times the Braves have been in the playoffs, who have they played? The Dodgers. Who have they lost to? The Dodgers. You know, we talk all the time about, all right, teams having to get past other teams. The Braves obviously have to deal with the Dodgers. They have to deal with the Nationals and the Phillies and the Mets. They're on the division. Georgia has to get past Alabama if they're ever going to do anything special. We know that. Clemson had to. They got past them. Look where they are now. Falcons have to deal every year with the enemy. We know that. But for the Braves, it's still the Dodgers. Even after all these years, even after changing divisions, even after not having to play them 18 times a year like they used to, it's still the Dodgers. And again, to reiterate what we have been saying here the last couple of hours, and we're not being negative, the reality check that the Braves got over the last three nights is a little daunting, but it might be a good thing because it reminds them of who they have to knock down the mountain. And ironically, Russ, it was the same daggum team they had to knock down 37 years ago. Crazy, isn't it?
It is. It's funny how baseball is like that sometimes. And I don't, you know, we're talking about some of these prospects and, you know, Austin Riley becoming a contributor and Pache and Waters down the road and Contreras and all this. And, I mean, we're talking 3-4, maybe even 5 years down the road. But there, I don't see – I mean, the names may change. You know, I don't know how effective a starter Kershaw is going to be in 5 years, but I don't anticipate the Dodgers going anywhere because they do – I mean, everybody – the first thing people are going to look at is the payroll, and that's a big help. And I've always said, you know, a big payroll in baseball doesn't guarantee anything. It just gives you more room for error. So they've got that room for error. But if you look at how their team is made up and where their players have come from, for the most part, those are, I mean, that's them. That's they're cultivating their guys, and the Dodgers have done a very good job of that. So as long as they've got that front office structure, there's no reason to believe they're going to be going anywhere anytime soon. So, you know, it's going to be the Dodgers, but that's all right. I'm good with that. Bring it on, and hopefully, you know, kind of keep the stronghold on the East, or establish a stronghold on the East, and eventually down the road, as these players continue to improve and get better, they'll catch up with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I hope so.
Oh, and get that battery rocking and rolling, and get, you know, rent that skyscraper out and sell a bunch of craft beer. Yeah. Maybe they can afford the same payroll as the Dodgers.
That'll get that debt down a little bit if they actually rent that skyscraper out on it.
Yeah.
Get a little more revenue coming in there. Lord knows what their payroll will be when they actually have the skyscraper rented out and dealt with. But yeah, it's an interesting time in Braves baseball, and again, with the Diamondbacks doing well this year, let's see what the Braves do to combat what happened in Atlanta. They got to remember what happened when the Diamondbacks kind of slapped them around silly, you know, and you got to see how a young team will. And Brian Sicker said this during the series in Los Angeles. The experience they have by playing in a venue like Dodger Stadium, which is playoff caliber no matter what. And believe me, why have I fallen in love with going out there? Didn't do it this year, but as you know, I've said it, I've fallen in love with Dodger Stadium. Because every time you walk in there, it's like the playoffs. It's really that kind of environment now that it's like, wow, this place is kind of magical. And when those kids go out there and see that and feel that, that's only going to make them better moving forward. And that's what you got to hope for. And obviously, there's a lot to look forward to for the rest of the season. And they've just got to continue to. And we have to be realistic. I think that's what did more for me to make me realistic. Not that I was overly optimistic that they're going to bounce back and win 90 and get back to the playoffs, but you know what? It's going to be tough. And the last 3 days kind of fulfilled that thought process for me. Lineup is out for tonight's game against the Diamondbacks. Ozzie Albies leading off, followed by Josh Donaldson, Freddie Freeman batting third, Ronald Acuna fourth, Nick Markakis fifth, then Dansby Swanson, Brian McCann the catcher, Ender Inciarte, the center fielder, and Mike Soroka will be on the mound for Atlanta. And again, he's had a great start to his season with three very impressive starts, and it's good to have Dansby Swanson with him, Brian McCann with him as the catcher tonight. All right, don't forget the buffet's going on tonight here until 9 o'clock. Hamburger, steak and gravy, cream potatoes, fish, shrimp, fried chicken, mac and cheese, turnips, green beans, cabbage. Don't forget the seafood buffet tomorrow night as well, with shrimp and fish and oysters and great food. Also, plus the Super Mother's Day feast coming up on Sunday from 10:30 until 2:30. Great food for your mom. Bring your mom. You can also, don't forget to get a gift certificate for your mom for Mother's Day here at the Steakhouse Restaurant in Hawkinsville on the Highway 341 bypass, HawkinsvilleSteakhouse.com. We're going to take a break, come back, more Braves talk, including more on Austin Riley and what he did today. And for Gwinnett, more as we continue right after this.